On August 28th, Sonoma County held its first wildfire recovery meeting entirely in Spanish, nearly 11 months after the October fires began. About 100 people showed up at Lawrence Cook Middle School in Roseland to meet with county officials. Reporter Adia White was there and has more on residents' top concerns.
Yo me llamo James Gore, soy,
Chair of Sonoma County Board of Supervisors, James Gore, starts the meeting by asking how many people in the room were affected by the October wildfires.
Y eso no quiere decir que ustedes, que cada persona...
I don't mean that you had a house that burned, he clarifies. I mean that it had a strong impact on your family.
Un impacto fuerte a su familia.
Gore goes on to list several ways that the Latino community was affected. The families, pushed out of their houses due to rising rents, the fear of going to shelters, not knowing if ICE officials would be there. But tonight, the county wants to hear what Spanish speakers say went wrong. After opening remarks, everyone separates into small groups where a county official leads the discussion. At one of the tables, residents are angry.
La renta es como está. ¿Y qué hace el gobierno? Nada, nada.
Look at our rents, one resident says. And what has the government done? Nothing, nothing. They say, we're going to make a law. Then pass one already. Several people also bring up problems with FEMA's disaster assistance application. In order to apply, at least one member of the household has to be a U.S. citizen. But there isn't a guarantee that undocumented family members will be safe from deportation. That's why some families just didn't apply for federal assistance. But the concern that comes up over and over again is the general failure to communicate with Spanish speakers. Like others, Noemi Palomino found out that she had to evacuate because her neighbors knocked on her door at 1 a.m.
Pues muy triste y muy fea porque no sabes, no hay información en tu idioma, no sabes qué hacer.
The experience was very sad and ugly, she says. You don't know. There's no information in your language. We left and forgot the machine for my son who has asthma. And we didn't know whether we could return or what to do. There was also little recovery and resource information provided in Spanish afterwards. Marta Zuniga is a case manager for Catholic Charities. They can provide a number of financial resources, including help paying the rent for those displaced.
Ahorita no tenemos tantos personas que hablan español, aunque sabemos que hay muchas personas que fueron afectadas del mismo modo.
Right now, we don't have a lot of people who speak Spanish, even though we know there were a lot who were affected in the same way. The problem is, we don't promote the services in Spanish very well, so people don't know how to access them. Sonoma County is also working to improve its communications with Spanish speakers. Interim Emergency Manager Christopher Godley says that his office will now send out all future emergency alerts in both English and Spanish. He told me last week, the county also plans to launch a new website that will have all information posted in both languages. As far as the other concerns brought up at the meeting, including rising rents and the fear of being deported for applying for aid, they probably won't be resolved anytime soon. I'm Adia White for KRCB's North Bay Report.
On the anniversary of the October wildfires, we've all been reminded of the trauma of last October. KRCB reporter Adia White looks at how this is affecting mental health for Spanish speakers, as counseling services are not widely available for them in California.
On Saturday, Roseland Elementary hosted the annual 18th Bi-National Health Fair. The fair is a part of a national effort to boost health services to underserved communities. Georgina Telo Bugarin is a Spanish-speaking counselor for California Hope Services, Sonoma County's effort to provide counseling services connected to wildfire recovery. She says she's glad the health fair was scheduled near the anniversary of the October wildfires and switches between English and Spanish as we talk. She says that unfortunately, they've had more calls over the past 2 weeks, which is an indication that people in the community are feeling stressed. The Binational Health Fair provides the opportunity for her to share California Hope services with Spanish-speaking residents who have few places to go for counseling. She says that even though it's been a year, the fires are still affecting nearly everyone. Some of these people were evacuated and others lost work. She had a client who had to get a loan because he lost his job after the fires. The loan was not for a lot of money, but the interest rate was nearly 29%. This caused him a lot of stress, she says, because he has to pay back the loan, but still doesn't have a good enough job to do so. California Hope provides crisis counseling, which means that they don't offer ongoing care. Delo Bugarin says this can be problematic, as there are few providers she knows of that offer counseling in Spanish.
There's not that many counselors available. So there are a few organizations that are providing counseling. Humanidades is one. NAMI is the other one. But there is probably not enough for all the needs that are in the community.
NAMI is the National Association for Mental Illness. The recent confirmation hearings for Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh also highlights the critical need for bilingual counselors. Christine Castillo is the executive director of Verity Counseling, which is Sonoma County's rape crisis center. Verity also received an influx of calls over the past few weeks. They attribute the increase to the confirmation hearings and the following discussion of sexual assault over the past few weeks.
We're had a slow spike of 20% for the 2 weeks previous, and then last week it appeared to be about 45% spike.
Castillo says that Verity has to do a lot of community outreach to make sure that Spanish speakers are aware of their services and don't have to face additional barriers when deciding to come forward.
For so many of us survivors, that first call is just, it's so huge because you just don't know who's going to be on the other end of that line. And when you get a caring voice on the other end of the line that understands your language, that understands your culture, that understands you and what you've experienced, then you can breathe that huge sigh of relief and say, okay, I've done it. I've at least spoken about it.
Still, she worries that because of the general lack of Spanish-speaking counselors and therapists countywide, some survivors of sexual assault may face additional obstacles that keep them from making that phone call. I'm Adia White for KRCB's North Bay Report.
Sonoma County officials are now working on finalizing their recovery and resiliency framework. The plan is a set of guidelines and goals that will determine how the county can best respond to and recover from natural disasters. One of the goals mentioned in the draft of the plan is improving communication in Spanish. KRCB reporter Adia White looks into whether or not the draft framework goes far enough to address the issue.
I think this plan is actually really important, and I think that this gives us an opportunity really to provide an overarching framework for all of the decisions that we make going forward.
That's Sonoma County Supervisor Linda Hopkins. She says that even though the framework doesn't have any legal standing, it still has the potential to radically change the county's response to disasters. But when Santa Rosa resident Irma Garcia first read the framework, she was stunned. She immigrated to the area from Mexico, and now volunteers with the nonprofit North Bay Organizing Project, or NBOP, to help improve the lives of other immigrants.
Durante y después de los incendios, nuestra comunidad inmigrante indocumentada fue afectada de muchas maneras.
During and after the October wildfires, our immigrant and undocumented community was affected in many ways. In the shelters, we were treated disrespectfully. We weren't welcome, especially my family. After the fires, we were outside of the system. FEMA couldn't help us, nor could the city, nor could the county, nor could any level of government.
Garcia helped NBOP write a list of recommendations for the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors so that it could improve its response during the next disaster. She expected these recommendations to be included in the draft framework. She read through the 68 pages that were translated into Spanish to see if they were.
Con el frame, no hay nada. No hay nada incluido.
In this framework, there is nothing. There's nothing included. And this is the reason that if we have another natural disaster, the undocumented and immigrant community will be left out of the system again.
There were three things in particular that Garcia would have liked to see in writing.
Una, que es que se respete.
First, that they will respect language and translate everything used to inform the community. Second, that after a disaster, during the cleanup, the county needs to make sure that undocumented community members who are working on the cleanup are protected. Third is that everyone is given the same help without discriminating who is a citizen or not. Everyone is treated as a resident who lives in this county.
Linda Evans is another member of NBOP who helped write the recommendations.
So we were extremely disappointed. We felt like they gave, at best, lip service to language access, and they couched all of the needs of the Spanish-speaking community in the area of vulnerable populations instead of addressing the question of providing services as a question of equity.
I ask Supervisor Linda Hopkins if she feels as though their draft framework does address the needs of Spanish-speaking residents.
The plan does talk about having better sort of multilingual capability when it comes to disaster notification. And we have actually sent out Spanish language alerts, including wireless emergency alerts, as testing since the fires. But I think that we really need to call this out as a primary theme and put it front and center. Because right now it's kind of woven into different elements of the plan, but it's a little bit buried. And I think we have to acknowledge that we did not do a good job, and we have a long way to go to just doing a better job serving people who don't speak English in Sonoma County.
The period for public comment on this draft closed on Friday. Now, a committee of supervisors is working on finalizing the document and incorporating the suggestions submitted by the public. Hopkins expects the final plan to be completed and voted on by the end of November. I'm Adia White for KRCB's North Bay Report.
At the 26th Annual Latino Health Forum, hosted by Sonoma State University last week, a number of presenters discussed how racial inequities may have a detrimental effect on health. Sarah Katz is the chief epidemiologist with the Sonoma County Department of Health Services. KRCB's Adia White spoke with her and has this report.
People who watch health statistics have long been puzzled by what's been called the Latino health paradox. Despite higher rates of poverty, Latinos in Sonoma County have a significantly higher life expectancy than other groups. The average life expectancy for Latinos is 88 years, compared to white non-Hispanics at 81 or 82 years. Researchers dug deeper,
then looked specifically at U.S.-born Latinos versus foreign-born Latinos, and we see differences in life expectancy between those two groups. So foreign-born Latinos are living the longest at about 89 years compared to U.S.-born Latinos at 84 years.
Katz can't say for certain why foreign-born Latinos are living longer than U.S.-born Latinos in Sonoma County, but she finds the five-year gap concerning. She believes social inequality and racism may be at play. She cites data from Sonoma County's free crisis counseling service, California Hope.
Among their Latino population, the clients that they're serving, the largest concerns have to do with immigration and immigration policy and rhetoric and how that's causing anxiety and fear. We know that stress, right, is not good for our health, and we know that stress and trauma impact us physically and mentally, and living in an environment that has increased social stressors, of which racism is one form, is one of the risks, I think, that we're concerned about. There's lots of research being done currently.
Katz adds that 24% of Latinos in Sonoma County live in extreme poverty. They're also more likely to describe their own health as poor.
Self-reported health status is a really powerful predictor of future morbidity and mortality, so it's helpful when we're planning health interventions and looking towards the future. And Latinos in our county are about three times more likely to report fair or poor health than whites. About 32% of Latinos report fair or poor health compared to about 11% of whites. And not only is that disparity notable, but it's also notable in light of thinking about the different age distributions of the two populations. So our white population's median age is about 51 years, or our Latino population is about 29. So there's a dramatic difference in age, and yet the younger population is assessing their health status for fair or poor much higher than the white population. And then on that, we'll also add that our American Indian, Alaskan Native population has a high rate of reporting fair or poor health as well.
There are a few reasons why the average lifespan of Latinos living in Sonoma County may be longer than other groups, despite higher poverty rates.
There are a variety of factors that I think are protecting this life expectancy advantage that Latinos have. One is that generally they have lower rates of substance use than the white non-Hispanic population, generally see lower rates of smoking. So those are some of the protective health benefits. And then community support and social cohesion that may serve also as a protective factor for the Latino community.
Katz's presentation was a part of a day-long examination of Latino health and what dozens of nonprofits and government agencies are doing to improve it. I'm Adia White for KRCB's North Bay Report.
In this next report, we hear from Dr. Enrique Gonzalez-Mendez, who has worked in community clinics in Sonoma County for over 30 years. He stepped outside to talk with KRCB reporter Adia White about what he believes to be the biggest health challenges facing Latinos in the county.
The biggest is for sure obesity and overweight. The incidence is very high. Obesity is now considered a disease by the CDC and the World Health Organization. The comorbidities are many, like diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoarthritis that makes people having pain in their joints. That is a big, big issue. And if you go to one of these, I think they call it convenience stores, it's a nightmare for a doctor, for a nutritionist, for anybody that has a little bit of idea about what is a good nutrition. It's a nightmare because they have two bananas and 55 different soft drinks and bags of you name it.
So then what kind of things affect what you eat?
So people working two shifts to pay the rent because it's extremely expensive, they don't have time to cook. So stop and buy a pizza, hamburger, whatever, and that's what they eat. So they gaining weight, being somehow malnourished. So we're seeing obesity, obese, overweight, that are malnourished. It's very hard to lose weight when you don't have access to good food.
What are some other issues that you've seen as a practicing doctor here?
I see a lot of discrimination in the jobs, especially in the farm workers, because they have no benefits, no medical insurance, no disability, and on and on and on. There is a say that is very sad among Latinos. If you are falling from a ladder in an industrial accident, you've been fired before you reach the floor. That's very sad. And yes, well, I have cases where my patient fell from a ladder and the owner says, go to emergency room, don't give my name, I don't want to talk to you ever again, and I'm sorry, good luck. And this poor man had fractures in both legs. Very, very sad. Actually, the owner saw how this guy fell. The ladder was in bad shape. So I've seen that a lot.
Can you talk about some of the ways that social inequality can impact health?
One is a good housing, clean house with clean water and a good septic tank or connected to the sewage where families can cook and can have fresh food. Access to healthy food, fresh fruits and vegetables, especially in some areas, especially where there's a prevalence of immigrants, there are more tobacco and alcohol stores than markets where people can go and buy fresh fruit and vegetables. So those are two important things. The other one is access to parks where kids can run and instead of being watching TV. There are many, many studies showing that children are less and less in contact with what is natural, with the nature, and that is not healthy.
Firefighters continue to battle the Camp Fire burning in Butte County, which is now at 135,000 acres and 35% contained. Air quality conditions throughout the North Bay remain poor due to smoke. Reporter Addie White has more on the health implications for Sonoma County residents.
As smoke from the Camp Fire continues to blanket the North Bay, many residents are reminded of last October. Supervisor Shirley Zane told the Press Democrat that the air quality on Friday was as poor as it was during the first few days of the Tubbs Fire. That's in some parts of the county. Staff at the Grayton Day Labor Center, which pairs day laborers with work opportunities, handed out masks to those that came to the center looking for work. Amelia Carbajal is the executive director there.
With the onset of the fires and the winds hitting the Bay Area, we've kind of gotten that gust of really bad air quality. It's been really difficult for us just because a lot of the work that the people do take place outdoors.
She's concerned that for some employers, workers' health is an afterthought.
For the most part, I'm not sure that a lot of employers are keen or sensitive to the fact that people are going to work outside. So it really becomes kind of like a hindsight, or if we say something like, hey, we're going to send them out to work, and just to let you know, they're going to be wearing masks and they might need more breaks to catch up with their breath. That's really when people realize, like, oh yeah, the smoke.
Throughout the weekend, the Environmental Protection Agency ranked air quality across the North Bay as unhealthy or very unhealthy. Very unhealthy being second to worst on their 6-point scale. Health officials advise everyone to limit their time outdoors during these conditions, but for some, staying inside is not an option.
The people that we provide services to here are primarily, you know, they're foreign-born. If people don't work, they cannot put food on the table for themselves or their family. They can't pay their bills. And if they do get sick, most folks here have to pay out of pocket.
I met Alejandro Lopez at the Grayton Day Labor Center as he waited in the office for work. He said he worked outside most of the weekend.
The air, it was very thick. I'm not sure if it was because of the fires, but it was very heavy. We were pulling up grass to replace it, and the smoke, it affected our eyes because they became a little bit teary.
I asked if his employers provided masks.
He offered us masks, but we didn't wear them because he told us the fires were really far away.
The State Division of Occupational Safety and Health, or Cal OSHA, requires that employers provide masks if the air quality poses a health risk. They also require employers to train workers on how to properly use them. However, workers are not required to wear them and may not fully understand the health implications. Carbajal wishes employers would do more.
Well, it really is the employer's responsibility because, you know, if someone's going to provide a service to you in the form of labor or picking your grapes, then you have to provide, you know, appropriate conditions or, you know, make the work site safe. And if you're going to be outside, it's almost logical that you provide them with some kind of mask or protection for their lungs if they're going to be outside. I mean, much like you would have to provide a hard hat at a construction site.
Cal Fire officials say the Camp Fire is not expected to be fully contained until November 30th. The best protection against the smoke is to remain indoors. If that is not a possibility, then properly worn N95 masks will filter out many dangerous particles. I'm Adia White for KRCB's North Bay Report.
The Santa Rosa City Council voted unanimously Tuesday night to extend the city's prohibition on rental housing price gouging. The ordinance will now remain in effect until October 2019. As part of the ordinance, landlords will be barred from raising rent by more than 10%. As has been the case at other municipal meetings, not enough attention was given to Spanish translation. KRCB's Adia White was at the meeting and has this report.
Santa Rosa residents filled the auditorium at the city council meeting Tuesday night to share their opinions on the rental housing price gouging ordinance with the city council. The city of Santa Rosa is still under a local emergency due to the 2017 October wildfires, and many commenters argue that renters need protections until the market stabilizes. Santa Rosa Mayor Chris Corsi opened the floor for comments.
We've got about an hour and a half of commenters who've signed up on the cards, and I am going to shorten that by limiting your comments to 2 minutes instead of three.
Nearly all of the commenters pleaded with the council to leave the current 10% cap on rental housing in place. But commenter Dorothy Beattie expressed concern.
We have a lot of units right now where the rents are much lower than market because landlords have not been raising rents. And as those units become vacant, landlords are choosing not to rent them and rather to wait until December 5th when they can put them back on the market at current market. So we've increased vacancy by having a provision in place while people wait. And I think if we let this expire, rents will probably go down because more units will come to market.
Many Spanish speakers showed up to advocate for working class tenants. Commenter Irma Garcia requested translation from the city council.
Before taking my minute, I have a question. Do you have a translator?
I don't know if we have, we probably have somebody here who can translate. I don't know if we have anybody on staff.
So if I need translator, can I have 4 minutes?
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. I think our community is 34% speaking Spanish, and we need to think about it. We really need translation to communicate in our own language. Greg is my son. Could you please help me?
Garcia's 14-year-old son, Greg, stepped up to the podium to translate for her.
Nuestra gente inmigrante, la que produce tu vino que tú tomas en tu mesa.
Our immigrant community that produces your wine that you drink at your table.
No puede pagar su renta y necesita uno, dos o tres trabajos.
Can't afford rent and need to have two to three jobs.
Four other Spanish speakers relied on informal volunteer translators to share their comments. Santa Rosa Vice Mayor Chris Rogers said that translation by default should be a priority at future meetings.
Really fast, wanted to comment and thank the folks who translated during the public comment and thought I would mention that we are actually... So I will take that applause as support for translation by default, which we will be discussing next week at the Open Government Task Force. So I wanted to make sure I just mentioned that.
The vote turned out favorably for supporters of the rent cap. Council members voted unanimously to pass the ordinance. After the meeting, Beatrice Camacho, tenant organizer with the North Bay Organizing Project, said she was happy with the council's decision, but believes more should be done to make housing affordable in Santa Rosa.
It's really important that they pass the 10% right now, but then looking at how do we reduce that, because 10% is really high for some folks. You know, we hear it from our students, we hear it from our seniors that are in fixed income, that it's really high as is.
The ordinance will remain in effect until October 9th of 2019. That is, unless the City Council of Santa Rosa decides to end the local emergency declaration, in which case the ordinance will return to the council for a vote. I'm Addie White for KRCB's North Bay Report.